Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the observatory here at Car Talk Plaza.
You might think it had to do with stellar things or galactic things.
There's nothing stellar on this show.
That's nothing to do with that. It's simply some observations that were sent to us by we don't know who.
By the internet.
By the internet. Just some observations. Okay. If FedEx and UPS were to merge, would the new company be called Fed Up? When someone asks you a penny for your thoughts and you put in your 2 cents, what happens to the other penny?
Yeah.
See, that's like the missing dollar. Ever wonder about those people who spend $2 a piece on those little bottles of Evian water? Did you ever notice what Evian is spelled backwards?
Naive.
And my personal favorite, if 4 out of 5 people suffer from diarrhea, does that mean that the other person enjoys it? it could be, right?
It could be. You never really know.
You never really know.
Anyway, if you'd like to suffer along with us, you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi,
who's this?
This is Sandra from Baton Rouge.
Sandra, you sound very alert and wide awake and
you
sound like you're going to be trouble.
I might be.
You sound like a very strong-willed person. You're organized, you get up and go, you do things, and it's all in your voice, kid.
It is, well...
Wow, yeah. Are we right? Is that your personality?
It really is.
Yeah.
Really? We need you.
No. She'd spoil everything.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, it's sort of embarrassing. I was having a sort of a bad day and wasn't really paying attention, I guess, and I put diesel fuel in my car.
Did you?
But I have a Honda Odyssey.
Does it run?
Well, I put only like 5 gallons in.
Holy!
it was an empty tank.
Oh, it was an empty tank. You put 5 gallons in, and then what did you do?
And then I kind of noticed that the nozzle was sort of hard to keep in. And
so did you stop, or did you fill up the rest of the tank?
I did stop, and then I put another 3/4 of a tank of 93 octane because it wasn't really a garage, and I had my children in the car, so I couldn't really just stop.
Ah, so you made a battlefield decision to dilute the stuff.
Right.
That was good.
Was it?
No, not really.
Well, I think so. You made it home, didn't you?
Well, luckily, I was only like a few miles from my house, so I made it home.
Yeah.
And then I sort of forgot to tell my husband about it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And then I went to work the next day.
And drove the car?
And he drove the car because I worked on the weekend.
Oh, how convenient that you should have forgotten.
Yeah. What did you do to the car, you moron?
He said, so what's up with a car?
Yeah, yeah.
I decided I had just better come clean and told him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't impressed.
What a spoiled sport.
The car was jerky, but it drove.
Yeah.
But then the next day, the engine light turned on.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I like the idea that you put in 93 because you figured the diesel fuel has
very
such
low octane.
So you were going to counterbalance that with the 93. Was that your thinking?
Well, you know, I didn't know that much about it, but
it
I knew
didn't matter.
That
it was more expensive. It had to be better.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
I usually put 87. 93 is higher. I'll just dilute it.
Well, that was good. I mean, you did do the right thing. I think you did exactly the right thing. You had two choices. Stop where you are, right? You got 5 gallons of diesel fuel in there. You wouldn't have made it home.
Mm-hmm.
However, you would have made it easier for the guys who have to fix it, because they would have been able to drain the only 5 gallons out instead of 20.
I see.
Of 15.
Right, and then you would have saved yourself the expense of having to replace the oxygen sensors.
Both of them.
The catalytic converter.
The fuel injectors.
So that's my question, really. What am I doing to my car?
Yeah,
you still haven't drained the stuff out?
I kept just adding 93 octane every time the gas tank went down by like a quarter of a tank.
Oh, so you've gone through...
It's been like 3 weeks, so I've done that like two or three times, and now the car's driving a lot better, but the...
The check engine light's still on?
It's still on, but it's flickering now. Like, it's thinking
it's
of turning
getting
off.
Better.
Oh, that's, you probably ruined that with the diesel fuel, too. Yeah, God.
Yeah. I mean, you did run the risk of ruining all that stuff, but I don't think it's necessarily true that you did.
Uh-huh.
And the die is cast.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you wrecked is wrecked. Forget all about it. Just
okay.
Drive the car.
I don't think so.
Fill it up with 93 as often as you can.
Uh-huh. You say it's running better, but it ain't running right, is it?
No, it is. It seems to be okay, except the light concerned me, and I did go to a garage and ask them, so what am I doing to my car? They didn't know. They just said, well, just drain the gas and get the sensor light fixed, but you'll have to go to the Honda dealer for that. But that really didn't answer my question. I really wanted to know, am I destroying anything or can I just ride it out?
Well, I don't think you're destroying anything anymore.
Anymore?
No, I don't think so either.
I think what was destroyed was destroyed. If you damage seals in the injectors or if you damage the oxygen sensors or the catalytic converter, it's done.
Okay.
I think at this point you should go and get the engine light checked and find out what it is that you wrecked and get the light turned off and hope for the best.
What if the light turns off on its own since it looks
like
it's...
It would be better, wouldn't it?
I can tell
no matter what we say, you're going to wait at least a few more weeks to see if the light... I know that.
Well, check engine lights do go away.
Can I ignore it if it goes away?
Let's ignore it. Yeah.
Right. We know that you want to forget about it.
Yeah, I do.
So that's the advice we're going to give you.
Are we going with our strategy of give the listener what they want?
Positive reinforcement. We already identified Sanders being that kind of person who knows what she's going to do.
Yeah, and
so
she's not going to do
it.
And she's decided she's not going to do anything. And I like that. I like a person with that. Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Destroy your car.
Conviction, so you do nothing.
Okay.
Forget you even called us. Just forget this whole conversation.
It's out of my mind.
Good.
You are getting very sleepy.
See you, Sandra. And pay attention next time, will you?
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alan from Eugene, Oregon.
What's up, Alan?
Well, we have a Volvo 89 Volvo 240 wagon. Recently bought it used, and the rear defroster doesn't work.
Yeah.
Now, the mechanic checked it. It's getting power to the grid.
That's too bad.
The switch is getting power. He says it's adequately grounded. And he said, well, maybe some of the lines are rubbed off. Mm. And he brought out this little bottle that looks like
the old gold paint.
Typewriter fluid with a little brush, And he said, we could paint it on, but you're better going to an autoglass place.
Yeah.
So we took it to the autoglass place.
And now, let me go back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
None of it works?
None of it? Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, and the autoglass guy says, well, yeah, we do paint on lines, but usually we only, paint in one or two because the rest of the grid is working. And,
exactly.
And we take the lines that don't work and we paint them in. So I think it doesn't have any power. Took it back to the mechanic. He says, well, it's getting power and it's adequately grounded, so...
Well, that's what I'm bothered about.
Yeah.
I'm bothered about adequately grounded.
Uh-huh.
Because the fact that none of it works means that either it's not getting power or it's not grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I'll tell you the problem spot on that car is the two wiring harnesses that enter the tailgate by the hinges.
Right.
Okay, and if you open up those harnesses, I bet you, they're broken.
Yeah, and when he says it's getting power, I'd like to know where he's measuring where it's getting power.
And does everything else work?
The windshield wiper back there works, yeah.
The power door lock?
The power door lock and the brake light that sits up in the window.
Yeah.
That actually does the only bit of defrosting that happens back there.
You have to ride the brake all the time to defrost the window.
Yeah.
Put a bigger bulb in.
Put one of those sun lamps in there.
Yeah, there we go.
Aim it right on that rear window. I agree with my brother that it isn't getting power.
And I'm going to tell you exactly what when. Ooh, you're
going to
love
it's not
this.
In that harness.
You're going to love this.
Go ahead.
You're going to love
this. Yeah.
It's getting power when he's testing it, when the tailgate is open.
Ooh, I'm going to love this.
Ah.
And when the tailgate is closed and those wires have bent, you've got an open circuit.
There we go.
And when the tailgate is open, you're getting juice.
Oh, man, I do love that.
Don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to, and we replace these harnesses all the time.
Yeah.
And it's a pain, kind of. You got to take the headliner down and all that, but it's, you know, it's a few hours.
Or you can do it the butcher way and run another wire.
You can run another wire.
On the outside.
On the outside.
That's how I would do it.
We know that. Take it to him and have him check those harnesses, Alan. Either that or put a 75-watt bulb in that rear, in that last brake light there.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good luck,
bye.
Alan.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Natalie from Mercer in Washington.
Hi,
Natalie. You're tired. How are you?
I'm good.
From where in Washington?
Mercer Island. It's about...
Oh, Mercer Island. Oh, I'm sorry. I heard... Yeah, I know where it is.
Okay.
Sure.
Not really.
It's out there in the water, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're surrounded by water. All right.
Yeah, so what's up?
Well, I was driving my dad's car kind of with his permission.
Uh-huh.
And I dented
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
And I need to find the fastest, cheapest way to get it fixed before he gets back from his trip.
Really? First of all, what kind of a car is it?
It's a Chevy Venture.
How new is it?
98.
98 Venture. How old are you?
17.
Oh, you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
How big is the dent?
Kind of big.
Kind of big.
Well, could you put a Volkswagen in the dent?
No.
How many different portions of the vehicle are involved? Like the front door, the fender, the door, the next door?
The sliding door, and then there's a scrape on the right passenger door.
Oh, you're looking at mucho bucks here. When are you coming home?
Next Saturday.
You got no chance.
Okay.
No. Come on, let's be creative.
Well, it's easy. I mean, the creative solution is that she lies. I don't know. I didn't do nothing.
No. I mean, wait a minute. How old is Dad?
He is 60.
60.
He's 60.
Can he see?
He might not remember that there wasn't a dent there. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to see this thing if you parked it correctly.
Yeah, but how long is that going to last?
Well, until he drives it once.
All he's got to do is drive it once, and then he'll blame himself.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if he's any kind of a parent with a teenage daughter, the first thing he's going to do is take a walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to look at the surveillance tapes.
You got, depending on how deep the dent is, you could have $1,000 worth of damage.
Easily.
And then some.
And you don't have that kind of money.
No.
So you've got to rely on either deception or you can throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Is Dad a forgiving type? I mean, after he locks you in your room.
Hello, Natalie.
Well, the thing is, my older sister had already totaled two cars by the time she was my age, so I think he'll probably forgive me.
Oh, so you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have permission to use this vehicle?
Well, I had permission from my mom.
Oh, good enough. You said, hey, Mom, can I borrow Dad's car? Mom said yes. If Mom didn't have authority to say yes, then it's on her.
Right.
Right? I mean, if she did have authority to say yes, then you had an accident.
Does she know about the dent?
Yes, she does.
Oh, no, if you're going to lie, then you've got to implicate her, too.
Of course. No, you can't do that.
Oh, no, you can't. You got to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're all set.
Okay.
I would say you just say, Dad...
Mom cracked up the car.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're working on the same level there.
Well, good luck. I trust
Thank
that
you.
Dad will be merciful.
Okay.
And he'll do the right thing.
Yeah, no, you've done everything right. The law said you could drive. Your mother said you could drive that particular car. You did nothing wrong because accidents happen. They especially happen to 17-year-olds because you're a bunch of morons and you shouldn't be driving.
It will help when you fess up to Dad, it will help if you look like you've been crying. So do something with the makeup.
Okay.
Okay, see you, Natalie.
Yeah, I like that.
Bye.
Dad, I have to tell you something. Yeah, see, he'll think that she's dying of some horrible disease. And when she tells him it's only a little scrape on the car, he'll say, Natalie, come on, what do I care about that? As long as you're safe, my child.
As long as you're okay. I love it. Okay, are you ready for your weekly puzzler hints?
I am as ready as I will ever be.
Well, here's the first clue. Name a game of strategy in which one opponent toys with and taunts the other while trying to avoid getting caught.
A game? You mean like marriage?
Well,
I don't think that's right.
Well, in your case, maybe. I was thinking of cat and mouse. I'll try another one. Fill in the blank. Visitors to Car Talk Plaza are often surprised to find our blanks lying on the floor, scratching themselves.
Our employees!
No, that doesn't surprise them. The answer is dogs. Oh. They don't know we have dogs in the office. Anyway, the puzzle was about cats and mice and dogs. And we'll be back with the answer and more of your calls in just a minute.
And even though NPR's structural engineer calls for a removal of a key load-bearing beam, which is just under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This one came from a fellow named Barry Lorber. If I'm not mistaken, I think his letter was dated 1996.
Well, that's the one you told me. Well, that was because you couldn't figure out the answer.
He gave me the answer. Anyway, here it is. You're given $100 and told to spend it all purchasing exactly 100 animals at the pet store.
Oh, this one.
Dogs cost $15. Cats cost $1. And mice, as you might expect, are 25 cents each. So you have to spend $100 and you have to buy
exactly $100,
and of course you have to buy 100 animals, and you have to purchase at least one of each animal, and of course mice have to be purchased in multiples of four, otherwise you could never wind up with an even $100.
It's true.
Four for a buck, right?
I
so the question
that.
Is, how many of each animal do you have to purchase to spend exactly $100 and get exactly 100 animals? So
this is the puzzler that kept me up until 3 o'clock in the morning once. My brother calls me.
He calls me
at 11 o'clock at night. And he says,
"I'll call you
earlier
next time." if I thought I was going to keep you up, I would have given you the answer. So you write the equation. Here's the equation: D, standing for dogs, plus C, standing for cats, plus M equals 100. We know that. That's one equation, right?
That's one equation.
And then 15D, dog costs $15, mm-hmm. plus 1C, cats cost a buck.
Plus 4
plus
M's.
Plus 0.25M. Also equals 100. And as any eighth grader will tell you, you can't solve this because you have two equations and three unknowns, D, C, and M.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my brother was up until 3 o'clock in the morning. And you can put things in terms of each other. You can write an equation that expresses C in terms of M. And you do that, and 48 steps later, you wind up with 7 equals 7. So the question is, how do you solve this? Well, here's how I solved it. I figured it wasn't going to be 5 dogs. Because 5 dogs would eat up $75, and then you'd only have $25 with which to buy another 95 animals. And that wasn't going to work.
No.
And I knew it wasn't 0 dogs, because that was one of the conditions of the puzzler. So what I did was, I changed the equation from 3 unknowns to 2.
Good.
And I wrote new equations, the first one of which is C plus 0.25M equals 85. That assumes one dog.
The dollar thing. Okay,
and
yeah.
And then the C plus M now becomes 99.
Got it.
Okay. And you do that. So you saw, and I saw for M.
Yeah, and what'd you get?
18 and two-thirds mice.
No good.
And if you do, and if you then do it for two dogs, your equation then becomes C plus 0.25M equals 70. And when you solve that equation, you get a similarly unsatisfactory result. So this is kind of trial and error.
Yeah, mostly error in your case.
Well, and the correct answer turns out to be 3 dogs, 41 cats, and 56 mice.
Yeah, that's good. I got that answer, too.
At what, 3:30?
No, I had the answer right away. I just kept thinking there was an elegant way of doing it, because let's face
I'm sure there is an elegant way of
there
doing
isn't.
It. There isn't. Be careful.
I don't think there is. At least I didn't think so. I finally threw down the pad of paper at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I said, there's no simple way to do this. It's you got to do what you did.
Well, 3 o'clock in the morning is not a good time to give up, because you're not thinking right then.
No. Well, I mean, when you
have
3 equations,
the time of the night when you should be buying the Elvis collection off the, you know, the infomercial on TV. That's what you should be doing at 3 a.m.
I know.
Not these
Instead,
kinds of things.
That's why do you call me at that time?
To keep you from buying that junk. Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner this week is Russ Bishop from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. You know what that is?
Of course.
Of course.
Home of Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Russ is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, he can have his choice of any of the CarTalk regalia that we have there.
I understand we've got lots of stuff in stock right now from all the post-Christmas returns.
Yes, there's an excellent selection available.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Thais calling from San Francisco.
Whoa.
What? Say it again.
My name is Thais.
How do you spell it?
T-A-I-S.
T-H-A-I-S with two little dots over the I.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, let me guess what language this could be. That's crazy because umlauts aren't usually used in Laotian. What language is that?
French. Bad French opera.
French? The French use umlauts?
They call them diureses.
They do.
Oh, I
had that myself once.
I had that, yeah.
Say it again, Thais?
Thais.
Is there a translation for this name?
Not that I know of.
And it's French?
Well, it's a French version of a Greek name.
No kidding. How did you get this name?
My mother liked bad French opera.
Your mother liked bad French opera. Okay. Well.
Oh, that's good.
And where are you from, Thais?
San Francisco.
San Francisco, right. Okay.
Well, what's
now
up?
Now that we've got that worked out, your question's going to be easy.
I hope so. I have a 1997 Honda Civic LX with an automatic transmission that I purchased recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the car, but it has two problems. One, you have to stomp on the gas pedal to get it to go. And two, the car rolls backwards or forwards on hills, depending on which direction you're facing. In combination, this adds up to Formula One starts from stop signs.
Yeah.
And pretty much makes me a menace to my neighbors when I try to parallel park.
Yeah. And you put it in park. And?
No. Once it's in park, it stays put.
Oh.
I hope.
So you come to the top of a hill, you stop for a traffic light.
Right.
And then when you take your foot off the brake.
You go rolling back.
Yeah, it's supposed to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to expect that to happen.
All right.
I mean, this doesn't happen in Phoenix. No, it's just that, in fact, the engine just doesn't have enough oomph. I suppose you could.
You could. Nah. I mean, it's not a problem. You just keep your foot on the brake, right?
Yeah, I actually sort of treat it like a manual transmission.
Sure.
You know, because we pull in San Francisco, you use your emergency brake to keep the car up while
yeah.
you're trying to, you know.
My brother was going to suggest that you have somebody jack up the idle a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then it wouldn't roll backwards, but I don't think you'll.
No, I think that's, I didn't say it.
You didn't say it, and you took it back. So I'm not going to blame you for it. You had the thought. Everyone had the thought. The rest of us were smart enough not to say.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't smart enough to stop it that quickly, but I did have the thought that if you turned up the idle, and in fact, if the idle were faster or the engine were more powerful, then this wouldn't happen, or at least it wouldn't happen as much.
Uh-huh.
But I'm willing to bet that if you talk to other people who drive cars of this ilk, that they have the same problem.
Okay.
Now, what was the first problem you meant? What's the stomping mean?
Well, the thing has a very sticky throttle, so when you step on the gas, you really have to step into it to get the car to move forward.
Otherwise, the gas pedal itself won't even move?
Yeah, so my husband's been squirting WD-40 on the throttle cable, but that pretty much just makes him feel better.
And how's he doing? He's doing all right?
He feels pretty good, but it's not doing anything.
Well, he really trusts you guys.
Well, I mean, if this is all it takes to make you feel better, I'm going to try it. Well, we had a call about this very thing a few weeks ago, I think.
We did. We were discussing this very issue.
Not about stuck windows, but about stuck throttles. And in fact, what he's spraying and where he's spraying it is bad. Because it may, in fact, cause the throttle to stick in the open position. That throttle cable is not supposed to be lubricated because the lubricant will attract dirt, which, in fact, will make the cable stick.
Uh-huh.
What's really wrong is that the throttle plate itself is stuck in the throttle body because there's a carbon buildup in there.
All right.
So unless he's willing to take off the snorkel that runs from the air cleaner to the throttle body, he should take it someplace and have them clean the throttle, and that'll fix that.
No, I think her husband is up for this.
You think so?
Absolutely.
What does he have for sprays? Does he have a whole panoply of sprays available, is he a WD-40 guy and that's it?
Pretty much a WD-40 guy.
Yeah, see, he's going to need some kind of a solvent. He's going to need, like, spray gum out.
Spray gum out, okay.
Yeah, it's a gum out is a trade name for a carburetor throttle cleaner. Okay. He can get this at any auto parts store, and it's in an aerosol can. And it has a nice little wand that attaches to the little spray head so you don't have to spray the stuff indiscriminately. You can just zero right in on where the carbon buildup is.
Okay.
And while he's at it, he can spray off the WD-40.
Uh-huh.
And wash that off with the gum out because it's a solvent. And he can get the WD-40 off. And at the same time, he'll be cleaning the throttle plate area. And which is inside the throttle body. And when he does that, your problems are all going to be fixed.
And he'll be able to see why it's stuck.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And this is going to open new horizons.
Tell him to, and he should do this with the engine off. And then when he starts it, it'll make all kinds of ugly smoke and all that. But he shouldn't be worried about that. He should do it at night so the neighbors can't see.
Yeah.
All right, then.
And it'll work. It'll be great.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Sounds like an easy fix.
You're welcome.
Thais, it's been a pleasure talking to you and pronouncing
Likewise.
Your name.
Okay. Take care.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
All right. This is John from Stoneham, Massachusetts.
Hey, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Stoneham is an interesting, boring place, isn't it?
No, it's a wonderful. Is the zoo still there?
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful little zoo.
I remember my brother took me there when I was a little kid. And he kept trying to get me to put my hand in the cages. I don't know what that was all about.
I was trying to teach you a lesson, you little brat.
Anyway, what's going on, John?
Well, I need your help. I have a poltergeist. I have a 92 Honda Accord, and there's gradually been developing a dent or a dimple in the front hood. And I actually bought it used just a year ago, but I bought it from my in-laws, so I've known this car its whole life.
Uh-huh.
And gradually, in the middle of the hood, there's been a dent that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger over time. I took it to an auto body place because when I bought it, there was some repair that had to be done, and I asked him to pound that out, too. And the guy refused to do it, saying that he's seen it before on other Accords of the same vintage. And I wouldn't be happy because though he could get it pretty much smooth, it would come back. Well, I pounded it out myself.
Of course.
Just using my hand. And he's right. It's coming back.
So you push it out from underneath.
Yeah.
And it gradually sinks down again.
That's right.
Mm.
And I have seen other Accords, you know, the 91 to 93, they're all the same. And I have seen others that have the similar sort of dent beginning to appear in the hood.
You know what's doing it? Plain old-fashioned gravity. I knew you'd laugh. I knew. And if you weren't going to laugh, I knew my brother was going to laugh. But I think the hood has insufficient bracing underneath. You know, if you look at every hood.
Wait, what's the diameter of this dent?
Well,
it's half an inch?
Oh, no, it's bigger than that. It's like a shallow.
Yeah, it's a very shallow thing, but it gets up to the size of a serving platter or something.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, you know, if you look under any hood, there are support members. I mean, it's not just a plain old piece of sheet metal. There are pieces to keep the hood from going blah, 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 when you're driving at high speed.
Yeah.
And they also counteract the hood sag.
It's hood sag.
I think so.
All right.
See, here was my theory. You're going to like this. The engine.
Oh, I got it. I know.
Is developing excessive vacuum.
And sucking the hood
and
right
there. It's sucking the hood. It's trying to suck the hood.
Well, that's why I jumped in with my answer before you had a chance
to. It's trying to suck the hood into the intake manifold.
Yeah. Right, if you go too fast, the hood is going to disappear.
In one, it's going to go, whoop, and it's going to just, and then you'll see it spewed out the tailpipe.
I think so. It's going to come out as
little chunks.
No, it's going to come out as Zippo lighters. I see what I have to deal with every week. Why me? What did I do?
What do you want from me? The guy calls us with a crazy question.
Well, I think I'm suggesting that John has hood sag.
I think, yeah.
And you might be able to fix it.
Okay.
With
the old Volvo method, a 2x4.
Strap a 2x4 under there.
But, I don't think I'd use a 2x4, but you might be able to fix it with maybe a. Here's an idea.
Yeah, I can.
First
see
of all,
it.
Honda may have a service bulletin on this, which you should.
I have gone on the websites, and I don't see anybody else talking about this.
All right, good. That's great because now we can come up with something wacko.
Well, I can see it now. I mean, can't you just see a piece that's going right across the hood from one side to the other?
That you've bent a little bit.
You've bent just a little bit to put a bow in it so it's concave and just the shape of the top of the hood, and it will prevent this from happening.
Yeah, and you can go to your local, building center, you know, hardware store or whatever, and you can buy a 3-, 4-, 5-foot piece of aluminum.
Sure.
It's probably about an inch wide and a quarter of an inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And the nice thing about aluminum is that you can bend it, and if you cut it too short, you throw it away and buy another one.
The problem is going to be attaching it to the ends.
Right. Well, there may be a way you can wedge it in. If not, you may have to epoxy it to the underside of the hood.
Yep.
No, it doesn't have to be attached to the hood. It can be.
Wait a minute. Here comes wacko idea number two.
Well, go ahead. It only has to be where the hood is when the hood is down.
Right. It could be attached to the fenders. So that
you just prop it in there. The hood comes down. Boom.
Right.
And there it is. Woof.
John, you've got a whole weekend's worth of ideas here, buddy. Get to work.
Yeah, let us know how you make out.
I will. I'll send you an email.
All right.
Send us pictures. We want pictures.
See you. Yeah. See you later.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Well, you know, this thing could be, I think he's missing an opportunity to have a moving bird bath. I mean, think about it. Every time you stop, the thing fills up with water. The birds come and they get a drink. Well, anyway, look, we are now two-thirds of the way through the show. Do you know the significance of that?
Of course. It means that the libel attorneys, the FCC watchdogs, and the NPR censors have all stopped listening by now so we can say whatever the heck we want to say.
Are you kidding? They're the only ones who are still listening. And only because they're paid to.
We'll be back with a new puzzler and more of our patented lousy car advice in just a minute.
Will the cell phone be unanswered while I drive low, while I drive? There's a message they're awaiting. Hang it up, arrive alive. I was texting on the freeway. See you later, LOL. As I plunged in to the river, I wrote WTH. What the? Will the cell phone be unanswered while I drive, Lord, while I drive? There's a message there awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
And even though Fyodor Dostoevsky wishes he had called it the Cousins Karamazov whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I'm encouraged that you didn't go bogus over the last week's Puzzler. No.
Well, that wasn't bogus.
Here's another cheat. You can go bogus this week if you want.
Is this part of the Guy Goes Into a Convenience Store series?
No. This is the...
World War II series?
No, this is Rising Floodwater series.
Okay, go ahead.
A family of four and their dog are trapped on an island.
Oh, one of these.
What? You're going to like it. When rising floodwaters tear out the bridge that they had used just a few hours before. So they're on this little island and they can't get back.
And they got one little rowboat and a light.
They got no stinking light. Frantically, they search for some means of crossing. Of course, they find nothing. And then finally, when they had just given up hope, the son says, I've got a boat, a small boat, and oars. They gather around, but their joy was short-lived because the manufacturer's instructions printed on the boat's stern tell them that the boat can carry 180 pounds. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank God Grandma isn't with them.
The mother-in-law's not around. So there's Mom, Dad, and the two kids. Is that it?
The dog. And The dog's the only one who can swim.
Yeah.
And the boat can carry 180 pounds.
Got it. I'm writing this down.
The father weighs 170. Mm-hmm. The mother says she weighs 130, but I think it's more like 155, actually. The son is 90 pounds. The daughter is 80. And the dog is 15.
But the dog can swim.
But the dog can swim.
The dog is going to have to take the boat back and forth.
Is there any way in which the family can be saved? And of course, we know that they can be saved because we would never give a puzzle that didn't have a happy ending.
Yeah.
How can they be saved? And what's the fewest number of crossings?
Yeah, save everybody.
To save everyone. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to... What happened to the 10-inch reflector telescope thing? I mean...
It was hopeless. It was hopeless! I'm telling you. Shoot for 20 bucks. Don't overstretch.
Jeez.
20 bucks is good. If we could only get 20s, we'd be good.
If we got enough 20s, we could buy a telescope. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge...
Our Fair City.
Ma 02238... Or you can email your answer to us, of course, from cartalk.com. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patrick calling from State College, PA.
Hi, Patrick. Huh. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Not too bad. What's going on?
Well, I have a 99 Dodge Durango that sounds like an airplane as it speeds up. Starting from about 20 miles per hour, it gets higher in pitch and more intense the faster I go.
Sounds like an airplane.
Yeah, it seems like it's coming from, like, the left front wheel. I mean, it really just, you know, an airplane.
Yeah, how long has this been going on?
I'd say probably about 3 months, maybe.
I'd say you're in trouble.
Are you in college, in State College, Pennsylvania?
Well, I actually just returned to college as an adult student last fall.
Okay. Were you on the football team ever?
No, I wish.
Yeah, well, get a helmet from somebody. Because you're going to need one.
Yeah. That wheel is going to come to a screeching halt or it's going to fall off.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
No.
Yeah, because the sound you're getting portends a wheel bearing failure. And what's happening is the ball bearings in the wheel bearing are getting chewed up one at a time or maybe two at a time. And those are what are making that noise.
Wow.
And when that really finishes seizing up, that wheel will stop turning all of a sudden. This is on your left side?
Yeah.
The left side. So the left wheel will stop turning, and the right wheel will propel the car in a circle. So you will then be...
You'll pivot around that left front wheel. This paint a bad enough picture for you?
Don't forget what's going to happen. If you're driving down a plain old street,
right,
then this will throw you into the oncoming lane where the semi is.
I don't want that.
No. So and the warning sign that you've been getting for how many weeks now?
About 3 months.
About 3 months.
Oh, geez. Really?
You're very lucky.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
it's really serious.
Yeah, it sounds it.
We think so. We think so. We know you're going to drive it for 6 more months, but at least you'll know when it does fall off, you'll know why.
Well, at least I know not to do 60 miles per hour on the highway now with it.
Yeah. Exactly. Good luck, Patrick.
Okay, thank you.
You're going to need it. See you later.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
How can people just keep going? I mean, we do that.
Here's why.
Why?
Because people who hear noises in their cars are basically divided into two categories, I think. The people who know what the noise is, and like us, and you'll say, oh, yeah, I have a wheel bearing going, but I know when I, from the point at which I begin to hear the noise, it's going to be X number of miles before I have to do it, and you know enough to drive a little more cautiously. And then there are those people in the other group who know nothing, and they say, well, it's making a noise, but nothing's happened.
Right, so I guess it's all right.
I guess it's all right. It's just one of those noises that cars make, and when, in fact, I go in for my next service, I'll mention it if I remember.
Yeah, I may have mentioned before that when I had my Dodge Dartra, it made a lot of different noises. But I knew what every single one of them was.
Yeah.
And I would take people for a ride, and they'd say, what the heck is that? I'd say, nah, don't worry about it.
Sure.
And then one day, when among all the noises, I hear a new one. And among the cacophony of noise, I'm saying, what's that? What are you, crazy?
Yeah, how could you be bothered with one little noise?
Yeah.
But you knew it was...
It was the noise.
It was the end. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Yeah, you call that number.
8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Try that number. Yeah, sure.
Who's this?
Hi, my name is Tom.
No kidding.
I'm from Decorah, Iowa.
Hi, Tom.
How do you spell Decorah?
Decorah is spelled like Deborah with a C.
With a C.
With a C, up in northeast Iowa.
Okay.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
All right. So what's up, Tommy?
Well, I'm kind of on the horns of a teenage daughter dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
I have a 16-year-old daughter.
So do I.
Isn't it grand?
Isn't it great?
Oh, well, you were.
It's amazing, too, because he has a 16-year-old wife. I don't know how we managed to do this.
Yeah, you learn about all your faults from these 16-year-old daughters. They're able to inventory them for you.
Yeah.
Well, see, we have this family car that we've had for 14 years. It's a Buick Regal, two-door. And now I'm ready to bequeath this car that actually has no problems. The odometer stopped working at 140,000.
She'd rather join the convent.
That's right. She would rather join the convent than drive this car. And so, you know, she's got a proposal for us. Our next door neighbor, an outstanding member of the community, has an 89
Corvette.
She wishes. It's a Honda Civic, and it's a 5-speed. And, you know, she's selling this idea to us as a way to save the environment. This will be a much better car for the environment because it has a smaller engine. And
yeah, you know that's bogus, right? That argument. Yeah. What year's the Regal again?
It's an 88 Buick Regal.
Oh. Yeah, they're both about the same age.
I think the Regal probably has over 200,000 miles on it. The odometer quit about 6 years ago.
How about the Civic?
Civic has 140.
What kind of?
But it looks like a new car. I mean, on the inside, they've kept it up really nice.
And it isn't a squares car. I mean, I don't know how better to put it, but the Buick Regal, that's an old term, huh?
Yeah.
Squares.
Yeah.
Square.
Yeah. But it's a square. It's a geezer car.
Oh man, is it ever?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you might as well get the AARP license plate frame and throw it on there for her before you give it to her. But it's probably a little safer car.
Or as they say, just put the sticker on her forehead that says, I'm a loser.
Take my lunch money.
Yeah. She parks it at the back side of the school lot.
Well, you know, I mean, it's probably a safer car than the Civic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's the only argument that you can use.
What kind of driving is she going to be doing?
Well, probably a lot of it she's probably not going to be disclosing to us, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, but ostensibly, what kind of driving will she be doing?
City streets. Occasionally out in the country to see a friend.
And this out in the country is
5 miles.
Like two-lane road, one in each direction?
Yeah, you know, and some of those curves tend to just grab teenagers and pull them in.
Yeah, they do. I mean, my concern about both of these cars is that they're both very old.
Yeah, they are.
And if she's on one of these dark country roads at 11 o'clock at night and the thing breaks down, does she have a cell phone?
She does now.
Do you have any kind of service out there in Decorah? What does it come with? A ball of twine and a couple of Dixie cups?
Yeah, you can get out of service really quick here.
I'm more worried about the safety of the car. You know, neither one of these cars has an airbag.
No.
If you can't get a newer car with an airbag, it would be nice to get even a car as old as these that has a reputation for safety, like a Saab or a Volvo.
Okay.
Is there any chance of getting her another car?
A compromise. I mean, she wants the Civic. She doesn't want the Regal. How about the two of you put your heads together and come up with a compromise car as long as it's a Volvo?
Yeah.
She would love that Volvo. That the Volvo idea, you know, especially if it's, you know, in the last 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
But financially.
That's tough.
On the salary of a pastor, that's probably not going
to
happen.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be nice to not go back further than an airbag.
Yeah.
But if you had to, it would be all right with a Volvo.
Yeah.
I mean, Volvos are really safe cars, even
without
an airbag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she would love that. You know, she's adopted the hippie look of, you know,
yeah,
driving the Volvo would be good.
Well, not if you go back to 91 or 89.
Oh, no, the squarer, the better. Square
the squarer
is in.
The better.
See, square is out. The Bugle's square and it's out, but the Volvo's square and it's in.
Yeah.
Yes.
In which case, that's the answer.
It's hard to figure. Good luck, Tom. You have your work cut out for you. We'll pray for you.
Yeah, we'll pray for you, too.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
1-8. Boy, I'm glad I don't have a teenage daughter. Oh. 1-888
car
talk.
I'm glad that I have a teenage daughter. Because she's the best.
She is. 1-888-227-825. How many accidents she had so far?
Today? I don't know. She's not home from school yet.
8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Leslie calling from Halifax.
Leslie? Halifax what?
Nova Scotia.
Get out.
No kidding.
Yeah. Canada.
Nova Scotia, I've never been there. Is it a swinging place?
It's a great place, yeah.
Is it true that you have warm winters?
We do, comparatively speaking.
Comparative to what?
Comparative.
Like the North Pole?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone always says, oh, it's always warm in Nova Scotia because the Gulf Stream swings right by there. And that sounds like baloney to me.
It's pretty nice. It's maybe like -5 or so. But wait, that's Celsius.
That's not that great.
That's somewhere around like, I think 35 for you guys.
No, less.
Less?
Yeah, 25, something like that.
That means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, my question is about tipping. I'm wondering if I should be tipping the man or woman who pumps my gas.
No, but you should be tipping your mechanic. 50% is the standard.
Yes.
Down here, at least. Who pumps the gas?
Yeah. See, I'm a big selfie, or, like, not selfie. I always do full serve, not self serve.
So do I.
Do you tip?
Gee, I've never even heard of the concept before.
Oh.
Well, you know, it depends. I will often give a tip to an employee at a gas station, but I don't tip the owner.
Just like a hair salon.
Well, I don't go to hair salons because I don't have any hair. But
right, like the hair salon. That's I guess my wife told me of that once.
Yeah.
You don't tip the owner, but you tip everybody else.
Exactly.
Well, you know what you ought to do? Go in and ask for $18 worth of gas and give the guy a 20.
So you're condoning tipping.
I like the idea, sure.
All right.
I mean, if you stop and think about it, especially when it's -5, I don't care whether it's Fahrenheit, centigrade, or Kelvin. You don't have to get out of the car. The guy deserves something.
That's what my husband said.
Because most of the gas stations here are now self-serve. And you're right. We do not tip the guys I've never seen anyone tip the guy who comes out and pumps your gas, but from now on, if I ever have opportunity to do it, I'm going to do that. I don't have a car. I don't put gas in anybody else's car.
We noticed that.
So it'll never happen. But if it should happen, I'm going to tip. And I think it's a wonderful idea that you've introduced to us. And
yeah, big spender Tommy. This is going to be like a once-a-year occurrence.
No, I would like to encourage others.
I'll tell you what. You can borrow my car anytime that the needle's on E, and feel free to top it up and tip it.
All right. I'll go in and get $2 worth of gas and give the guy one of the bucks.
Leslie, thanks for your call.
Thanks a bunch.
Bye-bye.
It's a very good question. The guy deserves a tip.
Well, I think especially.
Even if he is the owner, he's a holdout. He's not going in for the cookies and the convenience store and soft drinks and cartons of cigarettes, and you pump your own gas.
Yeah. Well, I think it's especially important if it's like pouring rain.
You're not kidding.
Yeah. I mean, give the guy a half a buck or something.
You should give the guy money all the time, because when it's pouring rain, he won't be there anymore. It'll be too late.
Exactly right.
You have to take care
of... You'll be standing out there in the rain.
You've got to take care of the people when you don't have to.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
I'm with you. Are you running for office or something?
I don't know.
Well, look, it's happened again.
Should I?
You've eviscerated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher Fenollosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Kalamazoo, Vindaloo, Cordon Bleu, Cheese Fondue, Steamed Kudzu, and Tamiflu Hullabaloo.
And who would that be?
It's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our disgruntled massage therapist is Ophelia Self. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our self-defense instructor is Nina Cojones. Our new employee training program is run by Yul Flounder. Our Indo-Egyptian blues musicologist is Mohammed Antolomy. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Flash Frozen Folk Singers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Remember, don't drive like my brother.
Remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1102, Meander, through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, a great alternative to trading in your old car. You can donate it for the benefit of your very own favorite NPR station and get a tax deduction, too.
And it's easy, right?
Oh, yeah. They even pick it up.
One phone call. It's like arranging to have somebody steal it. But it's legal. I love it.
That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Details at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Smith brothers have coughing fits whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.